We're in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 11 and 12 for our sermon, but I want us to start with verse 8, and we'll read verses 8 to 12 for our scripture reading, preparing us for this. This is the word of the Lord, written to you in grace and mercy, his people. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word of yours that's given to us, your people. We know, Lord, it is your purpose to use the reading of your word and the preaching of your word to make us like your Son, Jesus Christ. To also, Lord, strengthen us in our faith. To give us cause to believe, Lord, that you are worthy of being believed because of who you are, what you have done, and what you have done in our lives. And so, Father, we pray that you would now work in the hearts and lives of your people. Work through the one, Lord, who is preaching your word, and help me to speak only your truth. For it is only your truth, Lord, that is promised to have an effective work in our life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sarah is the next biblical person set before us to follow in the footsteps of faith. And having read Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 15, if you were paying attention, you might wonder how Sarah found her place in this list of people who are faithful. Because isn't she the one who laughed at God's promise? Isn't she the one who denied that she laughed when Jesus said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" after hearing the promise that she will have a son. So how does someone like Sarah find herself in this list of people who had great faith? One thing that we take from this is one of the amazing things about the Bible is that it is not afraid to show the humanity and the weaknesses and the frailness of God's people. That is a common theme and thread throughout the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is not afraid to show the weaknesses of man so that he might show the strength and power of God. And that's what's happening here with Sarah. As we look at characters in the Bible, we can find people who God used greatly, but they were also weak. Moses was a murderer. David was both a murderer and an adulterer. Peter was a denier of Christ. And Paul was a persecutor of faithful Christians. And Sarah laughed at God. God is not dependent on the strength of man or woman, boy or girl, to accomplish his will in the world. He is dependent only on his own strength and his own character to bring about his will. And this was true for Sarah as well. This is what she found out. For while at first she did laugh at the promise, the New Testament here fills in the end of the story. That somewhere between this promise being made by the Lord and giving birth to Isaac, she believed. in this promise. Not only did she believe in the promise, but what caused her to believe in the promise was to believe in the one who made the promise. She judged him to be faithful, is what the scripture tells us here. Sarah's faith is a blessed faith, a faith that we can follow because it is a biblical faith. But it was not a perfect faith, nor is mine, nor is yours. How many times do we even act like Sarah to one degree or another? You may say, well, I've never laughed at God's promises. But even as a Christian, have you always believed them? As a Christian, have you always acted upon the promises of God? Whether you laughed at them or not, what's being portrayed here in Sarah in Genesis 18 is that at first she did not believe. We can sympathize with Sarah. We can identify with her. But we should also identify with her in what the New Testament fills out for us and what the Old Testament also will eventually. But all I want you to see this morning is that Sarah's faith was a real faith, a faith like yours should be. So as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 to 12, we learn more of what took place in Genesis chapter 18 that we read earlier. And we see how Sarah, by faith, blessed the world. And we're going to see this in three ways. Sarah's faith was blind to her circumstances. Blind to her circumstances. We see that recorded for us in verse 11, the first part. Secondly, Sarah's faith was built on the character of the one who promised. Built on the character of the one who promised. And thirdly, Sarah's faith gave birth to blessings. So let us first then look at Sarah's faith, which was blind to her circumstances. As we read Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 15, you may say, Pastor, it looks like just the opposite. That she was looking deeply at her circumstances. That she was looking at nothing else but her circumstances. That's what led her to laugh, was it not? As she looked at herself, as she looked at Abraham, as she looked at the very means and providences of which God had worked through the ages in the life and person of human beings, that after a certain point, their bodies no longer produce those things which were needed to produce children. Abraham and Sarah were there. It was not looking at a bad circumstance. It was looking at a providential thing that God had worked into the life of human beings. There came a time when by all natural courses, women would stop having children just as it is today. And not only about her body, but her husband's body, the scripture tells us, was as good as dead as far as producing children. Those were her circumstances. And at first, she was looking right there. She looked at those circumstances, and she laughed. But something happened when Sarah laughed that changed the story. The Lord confronted her personally through Abraham. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? That's a confrontational question. The Lord said that to Abraham. Abraham was probably surprised because he didn't hear her laugh. The scripture tells us she laughed where? Within herself. It was a laugh within her own heart and mind. And Abraham, not being able to hear that, the Lord asked him, why did Sarah laugh? So really, the Lord was telling Abraham, Abraham, Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed at this promise that I just made you. Sarah laughed within herself and said to herself, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" You know, oftentimes when we make a promise to someone and they say, "Well, I don't believe it. You'll never do that." What is our response sometimes? But to say then, "Okay, I won't." But the Lord did not do that. But Sarah deserved every bit of that kind of response. But the Lord graciously and lovingly rebuked her with His own words. He said to her, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And the Lord was not asking that question of her to see if there was something that he had missed that he couldn't do. It was a hypothetical question, and the answer is no. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Or as it is said in the New Testament, "For with God all things are possible." And do you recall when the Lord said that? It was when he was talking to a lady who was about to give birth. It was Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was barren. Elizabeth had not been able to have children. But when the Spirit of God told her that she would, and told her about this child whose name would be John, the Lord said, "For with God all things are possible." He said this to her in Luke chapter 1, verse 36. And Mary, who was to have a son, even though she did not know a man yet, Mary said, "How can these things be? For I do not know a man." Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. And that's the same thing in your life. There is nothing too hard for the Lord to do in your life that the Lord sets out to do. It is not too hard for the Lord to forgive you of sin, even the grossest sin, even the most wicked sin. It is not too hard for the Lord to forgive you of that sin, because of Jesus Christ. Both Mary and Zacharias wondered how these things could be based on their current circumstances. And the Lord dealt with Zachariah in a little bit different way, didn't he? Made him mute until the child was born. But why did he do that? Because there was doubt. Because they thought this would be too hard for the Lord to do. As we look at Sarah, she was confronted with that very question. And with the obvious answer, "With God, Sarah, all things are possible." Now that's a phrase, and it's been used in all kinds of different contexts and situations and inspirational posters and in the locker rooms of athletic teams and things like that. Certainly God can work there and anywhere. But what God is talking about here with Sarah and with Elizabeth and Mary was the bringing about a people for himself through one man who is good as dead. All things are possible with the Lord, Sarah. So she is being confronted with this truth. She is being confronted that there is nothing that the Lord cannot do, even when circumstances say different. God does not leave her in this unbelief of hers. He does not leave her laughing at the specter of something being done that could not be done. He ministers to Sarah by speaking truth to her. In verse 14 of Genesis 18, he goes on to say, "At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Having explained that to her, making the promise even more clear, reassuring her with words like, "I will return, and Sarah shall have a son." Even after that, Sarah continues to try to hide her lack of faith and her laughter at such a preposterous idea, for she denies the charge. She denies the charge and says, "I did not laugh." And maybe she meant, "I did not laugh on the outside." We're like that sometimes. Try to split a hair and say, "I really didn't do it because you didn't see me do it." But the Lord is there. The Lord appeared to them under that tree, and the Lord spoke to them. And it was the Lord who heard her laugh, which I believe was instrumental in the change in Sarah's life. She knew she did not laugh on the outside. She knew it was in here. How could someone have heard that unless they be the Lord? The Lord knows our hearts. The Lord knew Sarah's heart. And when she was rebuked by the Lord, with the word of the Lord, it stopped her laughing, stopped her denials, and it revealed who had made this promise to her. It couldn't have been anyone else except the Lord Himself. Now, we do not hear of Sarah again about giving birth to a son until chapter 21 in Genesis. And in that chapter, we see that the Lord did carry out and fulfill His promise. He visited Sarah as He said He would, and did for Sarah as He said He would do. As Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, she conceived and bore Abraham a son. And you know what their son's name was. It was Isaac. And do you recall what Isaac's name means? He laughs. He laughs. God's rebuke of her changed her from being a laughing doubter of God to being a joyful and faithful believer in God's promises. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us. We don't know exactly where that change took place, but we know from the time that God made that promise and rebuked Sarah for laughing and for denying that she laughed and not believing in this promise, from that moment, somewhere in between the day that she gave birth to Isaac and named him, he laughs. It was by faith that Sarah believed in this promise. I don't know about you, but that gives me some encouragement. I know for me, and I also know for you because you are a human being, that we're not always as faithful as we should be. I know that we don't always believe God's promises as we should. But I also know that God continues to minister to us through His Word, as He did with Sarah, to strengthen our faith, to build us up in the faith that we will believe and that we will be faithful. And that we will obey His Word. That's what He did for Sarah. Between the time she heard the promise and the time she gave birth, she came to believe. The Scripture tells us that very thing here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age." That was the Lord's work. And Sarah, by faith, believed. She stopped looking at some point at her age and at the deadness of Abraham. And she started looking at the Lord. I imagine that you can recall accounts in your life where you were not faithful, where you were not believing the promises of God. And I imagine you can attribute it to one thing, and that is taking your eyes off the Lord and putting them on what you see, your circumstances. That's just the way it works. It works that way in your life and my life. And the Lord is gracious to us, as He was to Sarah. The Lord has given us His Word to remind us of His promises. The Lord has given us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to remind us of His great and precious promises. The Lord has given us His Holy Spirit to teach us and to prove to us and to show us His great mercy and grace, to teach us His Word, to convict us of sin. These are the things the Lord has done to strengthen your faith, to get you from the point of not believing to believing. The Lord was gracious and merciful to Sarah. He did not withhold His promise. He did not change His mind like a man would do. At the appointed time, He returned to her and He gave her this child. And somewhere in between there, she stopped looking at her circumstances and started looking to her Lord. And she judged Him faithful, the one who had made the promise. And that's what we see here in the next part of verse 11. But Sarah's faith and our faith must be built on the faithful one, the one who has made the promise. Look at verse 11. After she bore a child, when she was past the age, by faith, because she judged Him faithful who had promised. This little statement here in the latter part of verse 11 is not about the promise. It's about the promiser. She judged Him faithful who had made the promise. Again, I don't pretend to know when Sarah began to trust God in this promise. I know it was somewhere between laughing and giving birth to he who laughs. And she did it because she trusted Him who had made the promise. Because the Holy Spirit tells us in this verse that her faith was the means God used to bring about this birth of Isaac. I want you to look at verse 11 again. Because she judged Him faithful. This child was given to her because she judged Him faithful. God uses your faith as a means to work in your life, as He did with Sarah. Faith, without it, it's impossible to please God. Without it, it's impossible to live and walk before God. In James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, he tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." But what? How are you to ask? In faith. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Do you see how God uses faith? Your trust, your belief in Him, God uses as a measure to work in your life. We oftentimes ask God for wisdom when it comes time for a decision. But God says, don't come to me not asking in faith. Don't think you'll receive anything from the Lord if it's not in faith. And so Sarah gives us that example here. God uses our faith, as weak as it is at times, as needing strength as much as it does at times, God uses our faith to work His will in us. And Sarah learned that, and we need to learn that too. Sarah saw the faithfulness of God. And I'm asking you this morning, do you see it or do you not? Do you see God's faithfulness to His people throughout the Scriptures? Or do you not? Do you see God's faithfulness in the promise of Genesis 3:15 when He said that the seed of the woman would come and bruise the head of the serpent? And his heel would be crushed. His heel would be bruised, rather. Do you see God's faithfulness to Israel when He promised them, while they were in the circumstances of slavery and bondage to Egypt, that He would take them out to the land that He had before sworn to their father Abraham? And did that not happen? Was not He who promised faithful? Do you see God's faithfulness when He has promised over and over and over again that a Messiah would come to save His people? Prophecy in the Old Testament, over and over again being fulfilled as Jesus came. John the Baptist sent one of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the coming one? Are you the promised one? Or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered that question with a resounding yes and said, "I am the one. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." God is faithful. He has proven Himself to be faithful. Jesus would, by His perfect life of obedience and by giving up of His life to pay for your sins and mine, be the ultimate expression of God's faithfulness. Do you judge God faithful? If you were to take this kind of evidence into a court of law, it would win hands down. God is faithful. But what in the court of your hearts? What about the courts of your mind? What about when your circumstances are terrible? What about when your circumstances are painful to the core of your heart? Can you trust God to be faithful? The Bible tells us that we can. If your faith is anything like Sarah's, you can see the faithfulness of the one who made the promise. And that promise that God made to Sarah is not unrelated to you. It is related to you. It is connected to you. And it is for you as well. For that promise which caused her to be blind to her circumstances, and that one who promised caused her to judge him to be faithful. This was not only for Sarah and Abraham, but for all God's people. Not just as an example, but in reality and in the fulfillment of the promise. And that's what we see in verse 12. That Sarah's faith gave birth to blessings to the whole world. Look at verse 12. "Therefore from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." What is being made a promise to Sarah and Abraham is being connected to the faith of Sarah, but it's also connected to you. She not only gave birth to Isaac in Canaan, or Isaac, she gave birth to the beginning of a whole blessed nation. Not only a nation that started in Canaan, where God brought Abraham out of his former land to build a nation of Jews, but this blessing of having children as numerous as the stars and the sand in the seashore, includes you who by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not just for the Jews. It was also for God's people throughout the world. We could extend this, I would say, a little bit and say that God uses your faith as well to bless other people. We have examples of that in Scripture. In fact, all of Hebrews 11 is about that. The Holy Spirit is using people of faith to encourage these Hebrew Christians to endure and not give up, but by faith trust in Jesus all the way to the end, no matter what persecution may come to them. And the Holy Spirit wants to use it in your life as well. These people are laid out here before us for us to look at and see a people who believed in the promises of God, who believed in this innumerable counting of a nation who would be saved by God's promises, so that we would endure to the end by faith. But you can look at each other as well. And are you not encouraged when you see somebody endure a trial by faith? Are you not strengthened in your own faith when you see the Lord working in somebody else because they were faithful? That's what the Holy Spirit is doing with these people. So look at the faithful and see what the Lord has done through them. But we are those children. We are the children of Sarah and Abraham by faith. And only those who come to God by faith are the true children of Sarah and Abraham. Galatians 3, chapter 3, verses 7 to 9 tells us, therefore know that only those who are of faith and are the sons of Abraham. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. This blessing of Sarah's faith that the Scripture is talking about in Hebrews is the very fulfillment of what Paul is talking about in Galatians. This innumerable company of people that come from Sarah and Abraham is talking about those who come to God through faith. That is the blessing. All those who are in Jesus Christ because of their faith in Him are blessed with Abraham. This blessing that God has given to Sarah and Abraham, verse 12, is a statement of blessing. You're going to have Isaac, and from Isaac will come an innumerable people because of faith. Because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sarah and Abraham, through faith, obtained a high honor of being the founders of a holy nation, if we can put it that way. Even though at the time what was promised was highly improbable, humanly speaking, impossible, which nothing but faith in God could have led them to expect to happen. But that is exactly what happened. By faith, Sarah believed in the promiser. And that's what must happen in your life today. God has made promises here in the book of Hebrews. For the several months that we have been in it, we have seen promise after promise after promise. And we are to be by faith believing those things. He has promised in Jesus Christ to make you holy. You may look at your life and say, someone like me? Someone who has sinned in the way that I have sinned? Is anything too hard for the Lord? When we doubt, the Lord would say to you what He said to Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God has promised to forgive you of your sin. That is not too hard for the Lord, because the Lord has done all that is needed for Him to remain just and to also justify you, to take away your sin by God Himself in Christ Jesus. And he has promised eternal life to all who trust in Christ Jesus. Is that too hard? God has promised to build his church on the earth, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If you look at the circumstances, you'll say, how's he going to do that? And the Lord says, don't look at your circumstances, but look at the one who has made the promise. Keep your eyes on the one who has made the promise and in whom he has made it. And the question is for us this morning, do you judge God to be faithful? Sarah did. I want to read from Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 25, where we get a description of this. Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 25. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. This is exactly what he was doing with Sarah and Abraham. Giving life to the dead, calling things to exist as though they did not, or things that did not exist, the power to have children as though they did. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Do you believe that? That what God has promised, he can perform. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and raised because of our justification. Notice these particular phrases in this passage that speak to us about Sarah and Abraham. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, speaking of Abraham and Sarah, in hope believed. He did not consider his own body already dead or Sarah's dead womb. He was fully convinced that what God had promised he was able to do. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. And this was written not only for Abraham, but for you. For the righteousness of God shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up for our offenses and was raised because of our justification. The book of Hebrews is seeking to convince the Hebrew Christians and us to endure by faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the circumstances say, but to keep our eyes on the one who has made the promise, who has proven himself to be faithful. But that's where we get into trouble. When Jesus is here, and our circumstances are over here, we look to the left, we look to the right, and we laugh and say, he can't do it. We must keep our eyes on Christ, because it's in Christ that God has done it. is it not? It is in Christ that he has fulfilled all his promises. And the ones that yet remain will also be because of Christ. And the question that remains for us to ask, do you judge him faithful? If you do, you will be able to endure the circumstances of this life by faith. You will be able to endure the times of doubt if you are keeping your eyes on him who is faithful and judging him to be faithful, for there is nothing too hard for the Lord. It is not too hard for the Lord to save you, to forgive you, to apply his righteousness to you, that you may come to him and be in his presence for eternity and worship him and really be received by him. Even now, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Sarah, Christian, there's nothing too hard. I would say one thing about circumstances. I would say to you, look at those circumstances and say, you're not greater than the Lord. The Lord can deal with that. The Lord can deal with my lack of assurance. The Lord can deal with whatever I might be facing in my family or in the workplace, whatever it might be. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. It's not too hard for the Lord to cause his Son to come to this earth, to die on the cross, to be in the grave 3 days, and to be raised again so that you might be justified before God. It's not too hard for the Lord. As we look at Sarah's faith, we are not being called to look at Sarah as a great moral example and to believe that we can do whatever it is. We are called to look at Sarah and see that by faith in the one who made the promise, that he is able to do everything that he has promised. Everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you're being called to do, is to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate fulfillment of every promise God has made to his people. He has come. He has died. He has been raised again for our justification, that the righteousness of God may be applied to everyone who believes in him. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, how we ask and plead, Lord, that you would show yourself strong in our lives, that we may be able to judge you faithful by the faith that you do give us, that we may believe, Lord, that you are able to perform all that you have promised. Strengthen us, Lord, where our faith is weak. Use your Spirit, Lord, to remind us not to look at our circumstances as being greater than your power. And cause us, Lord, to judge you faithful. We plead for this, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name.